Good morning. This is Bonnie Deese, and I'm the Special Projects Coordinator for Seminole County Community Services. And today, my division manager, Stacy Smith, I actually was about to call you Stephanie.
You did. That's okay.
I'm here today with my division manager, Stephanie. Once again, your name is Stephanie. Stacy Smithwick. And we will be presenting the 2022-2023 one-year action plan for our federal allocation, our federal grant allocations.
Yay.
And so today we will be presenting this as a public hearing of the one-year action plan. And we will be taking any public comments through June 30th of 2022 of any comments related to the application. So we'll move forward with discussing the plan. So the annual action plan is normally done this time every year. It is developed in collaboration with other community partners, local governments, our urban county partners, and other stakeholders. And it is tied to our five-year action plan or consolidated plan. We're currently in plan period 2020 to 2024. So what are we, halfway through, Stacy?
Yeah, we're in year two. Yep.
Look like we're chucking it on down. So so the activities that are being presented in this year's plan helps us meet the goals that are established in the five-year consolidated plan. So this year we have been allocated quite a bit, you know, pretty good funds for the federal allocations. We saw a reduction this year in our CDBG funding. We're down maybe about $20,000 in our CDBG allocation from last year. But this year we are anticipating receiving $2,172,901. For our home allocation, we saw a pretty good increase. And this year we are allocated $962,247. ESG, you know, each year we hope that we're going to get additional funds. We got a little bit more this year, maybe about $5,000 more, but you know, as long as it keeps ticking up, because we have so many homeless families and individuals that we would like to serve. So this year we have been allocated $184,741. In addition to the allocation that we have for this year, we have reallocated $250,000 in home funds from our prior year 2021-2022 allocation to focus on housing infrastructure.
Infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. So this year we have a total available federal funds of $3,569,889. Sounds like a lot of money, doesn't it?
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money. So with our allocation, there are administrative costs, and HUD caps the administrative expenses to specific percentages. So for CDBG, there's a 20% of the total annual allocation that can go towards administrative costs. For our home program, there is capped at 10% of the annual allocation. And for ESG, we're capped at 7.5% of the allocation. In addition to the administrative caps, there is a 15% cap on public services with our CDBG funding. So that means our total allocation of CDBG fundings cannot, for public services, we cannot exceed 15% of the total allocation. For home, there is also a 15% of the total allocation set aside for CHOTO funded activities, which is Community Housing Development Organization. So you would have to have that designation in order to take advantage of those funds. And for eligibility, CDBG eligibility, 70% of the funds that are allocated must go or must benefit low to moderate income households. And what that means, anyone or any family with a household income that cannot exceed 80% of the area's median income. In addition to that 70% benefit for low mod income families, it can also go to removal of slum and blight and address immediate threat or danger, such as if there was a natural disaster declared or a hurricane that came through and it became a federal disaster area, then we can allocate funds for CDBG dollars to address those issues that happen as a result of the disaster. So, CDBG eligible activities, as we stated earlier, you have your administrative costs that's up to 20%. You have public services activities that includes things like after school programming, mentoring, childcare, recreation programs, substance abuse programs, things of that nature. So that's 15, and we have a maximum 15% of our total allocation that can go towards public services. We also can use CDBG funds for acquisition, relocation, and demolition, construction improvement of public facilities, infrastructure, sidewalks, and roadway projects, and economic development activities. Under our home eligible activities, you can do new construction of residential housing, rehab and reconstruction of residential housing, whether it could also be for owner-occupied, land acquisition, demolition, and relocation. And also, as we stated earlier, there's a 10% allocated for administration and planning costs. And we also can use home funds for tenant-based rental assistance, also known as TBRA. And there is a 25% match required by home from other sources. If you're going to be utilizing home funds, there is a 25% match requirement, which we normally meet that utilizing our SHIP dollars. As for ESG, funds have to be allocated to address the homeless. So homeless services activities in particular. So we have improvement in quality of emergency shelter, provide essential services to shelter residents, homelessness prevention, and then we have our 7.5% for admin costs. So our 2022-2023 project allocations, Stacy, I was about to call you Stephanie again. I need to talk to somebody named Stephanie. Anyway,
that's okay. I'm gonna
let you take it over from here.
Okay, so over the last couple months, we received applications for all three of our funding sources. They all went through review committees and tentative approval by our department director. So based on everyone's review committee's recommendations and her considerations, this is a summary of all the projects that we will be putting into play as it pertains to the particular funding source. So as Bonnie or Susie, I'm not really sure at this point, but as Bonnie mentioned, we got to pick cute names. As Bonnie mentioned, our public service assistance. So we do get enough applications just about every year to support that 15% cap. And we have again this year as well. So we do have projects that will support our public service CDBG funds in the amount of the $325,935. And we hope to assist up to at least, if not more, 292 people within the community. Our housing program delivery, that is our CDBG funds that will support the administration of our tenant-based rental assistance program, which is through our home dollars. So we kind of you kind of get two different funding sources for that one activity, and that'll be just under $90,000 of CDBG funds. The TVRA program, it doesn't specify here, but generally we help anywhere up to at least 30 families annually with that subsidized rental assistance. And then the minor home repair program. So this program helps with very specific types of repairs to your home. And there is a cap on how much we assist with that. But we did set aside up to $300,000 to help. We're hoping at least 15 families will benefit from getting some immediate repairs to their home. And then housing rehabilitation. So this kind of takes that minor home repair to another level. If there are more extensive repairs that need to be done to the home, we're budgeting $200,000 CDBG funds, or hopefully be able to help at least two households do some more safe and habitable renovations to their home. And then our neighborhood revitalization goal. So that is a accumulation of all of the public facility or infrastructure activities that we received applications for and that are being tentatively approved. So that cumulatively is about $831,762. And these subrecipients are anticipating that, you know, the public facility projects can benefit just over 13,000, almost 14,000 families. So we're excited about those projects as well. And then, as Bonnie mentioned, administrative costs for all three of our funding sources. We do notify HUD of those amounts. And then our housing construction home ownership. So this starts rolling into our home dollars. And we anticipate being able to use at least $700,000 of that to go towards the construction. It can be new construction, reconstruction, or rehabilitation of homes for the purpose of first-time home buyer purchase, those funds for. So putting new homes into the community, which is pretty exciting. And then that also, so that one will also include, as Bonnie mentioned, the $250,000 for infrastructure costs that may be acquired by the subrecipients in the development of those new homes. And that was the repurposed or reallocation of our $21. So that kind of bumps that one up, that budget up. And then when we move into our emergency services grant, our shelter operations and essential services, we will be providing no less than $110,844 to that goal, with the anticipation that the recipients of those funds will be able to assist or provide at least 640 beds for families in need of overnight or emergency transitional housing shelter. We also received application requests for ESG funds in the form of our rapid rehousing program, which we were able to approve that in the amount of the $45,042 and anticipate at least 24 persons can be assisted with those funds, which is a form of subsidized assistance to keep them from becoming homeless. And then number 10 is your HMIS administration. So the HMIS is another acronym, which is basically the software system that is used by all of the emergency shelter entities, other subrecipients, nonprofits that touch the lives in need of some sort of sheltering and or case managing. So that is, and that's a huge software system. So we do support financially with the continued operation or use of that in the amount of the $15,000. And then the CHOTO set aside, as Bonnie mentioned, this is a required set aside amount, the $166,000 $22 from our home dollars. We do currently have two CHOTO approved subrecipients or nonprofits. So we have those funds available for any of their applications or any upcoming projects that they may have to benefit affordable housing here in Seminole County. We anticipate that could help up to three housing or provide up to three more housing units. And then, so that was kind of a summary of the goal of what they, what HUD calls our goals and where their funding sources are. And this is then a very specific breakdown for you to see which projects are actually going, may be funded as long as it is approved by HUD and by our Board of County Commissioners. So we are proposing all 20 of these projects, which do include obviously all of our set aside requirements. It's also going to, you'll see in there, our administrative expenses for the three programs. And then two through six are all of your neighborhood revitalization projects. And then we go into our home-owned rehabilitation, reconstruction, and minor home repair. And then the last, and then the CDBG number nine is that program delivery for our tenant-based program. And then it goes into that 15% cap of our public services within our CDBG program, which are gonna run for numbers 10 through 14 are all the nonprofits and their public services that they'll be providing. Then we jump down to number 15, which is our, again, our home ownership, our home program, and being able to construct the new homes. And that will also, number 16, will kind of tie into that, which is the infrastructure development. And then we have our CHOTO set aside. And then lastly, will be number 19, which is your Seminole County ESG funds, kind of still keep all those lumped together. And then we all are also doing a dental assistance program, which is within our public service cap for CDBG. And this is a dental program that is run internally within our department. So we do set aside $100,000 for that program as well. And that's all I have. Yeah.
So looks like we got a lot of work going to be ahead of us starting in October. Yes. It's going to be a lot of money hitting the streets, and we're really excited about it. We have a number of our nonprofits that are going to be working with us. We have the agencies that are receiving our public service, our public facilities funds. We love being able to support them, to be able to do what, keep, help them be able to keep doing what they do so well. And, you know, I like the fact that you remember to bring up the dental program that is administered through Seminole County Community Assistance. So that's here in our office. Mm-hmm. They administer that program, and it helps low to moderate income individuals receive up to, if I'm not mistaken, $2,000 to assist them.
It's at least $2,000, might be a little bit more. Yeah, they might have bumped it up because of inflation. But I'm not sure. I know $2,000
expenses are high just to begin with. So it's really helpful, and we're happy that we are able to allocate $100,000 to that particular activity as well. So just to recap, this is our public hearing of our annual action plan. And we will have our action plan available on our website. Following this meeting, you should be able to go on and read the draft action plan. We'll also have a link to the recording of this presentation on the website. And we are receiving comments through, whether you want to email them. My email address will be included. You can email us your comments. You can mail them to us. You can stop in and tell us. You can give us a call. just give us your comments. All comments received on the application, on the plan, will be included in the final version of the plan that will be presented to the Board of County Commissioners at the July 26th, I believe, July 26th board meeting. Am I correct? Yep, I'm correct. I had it right. July 26th board meeting at the County Services Building. At that time, if you have any comments that may come up during that presentation of the plan for approval, though any comments that come in at that point will also be included in the final draft that in the final report or plan that gets submitted to HUD on us, because we have to submit this plan to HUD annually so they can keep track of how well we're doing with expending the dollars and taking into account taxpayers' thoughts and considerations as to how we spend this money. So if you have any questions, my name is Bonnie Deese again. And
Stacy Smithwick.
As Stacy Smithwick, not Stephanie Smithwick. And I can be reached at my telephone number here is 407-665-2311, 407-665-2311, or my email is B as in boy, D as in David, EE, S as in Sam, E, at SeminoleCountyFL.gov. So you can email me any of your comments, you can call me with your comments, or you can stop by our office and review a draft if you don't have access to the internet. You can stop by our office and request to see the draft plan here at our office. And our address here is 520 West Lake Mary Boulevard, 520 West Lake Mary Boulevard, Suite 100 in the Reflections Plaza. Mm-hmm. And if you just stop in and ask to see the copy of the annual one-year action plan, it will be available to you. You can review it and then provide any comments from there. So we're here. We're always available. We're here mostly Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And except on holidays. It's that time of year we're starting to have holidays. So don't look for me on July.
Yes.
So we thank you so much for attending and for participating. And we look forward to any comments that we receive from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great day. Thank you, Bonnie.
You're welcome.